And in addition to this, William II and his new men were not going to be content to follow a continental policy. Here's where one sees the implication of German policy becoming German as opposed to the sort of more traditional Prussian policy pursued by Bismarck. William II in the 1890s would argue forcefully, as would his military and civilian advisors, that Germany needed to follow a new course, a course of world policy, that policy could not simply be conducted on a European stage, but on a global stage, that the ability of the great powers to assert themselves overseas was the real key to stability, to influence, to power in the future, and that if Germany continued along the Bismarckian path of focusing largely and indeed almost exclusively on the continent itself, then Germany was going to be left impossibly behind in this push for global power. This, of course, would run the considerable risk of conflict with England over colonial policy. If Germany decides to pursue a more active overseas policy, what will be required? A navy, certainly. Would this lead to conflicts in Africa with Britain, certainly with France, and with other colonial powers? Bismarck had been so keen on keeping Germany out of these colonial problems, colonial confrontations. But the Kaiser was not impressed with this argument. Instead, what Germany needed was a greater place in the global international system. All Germany really wanted, the Kaiser argued, was a place, its rightful place in the sun. And Platz an der Sonne was the term that he used. The Kaiser, William II, was one of those absolutely impossible phrase makers. He always managed to say the wrong thing, or to phrase even the right thing in such a way is that it came out seeming aggressive and confrontational. It would be William II who would argue for a place in the sun. He would give a terribly unfortunate newspaper interview with the Daily Telegraph in England after the Boer War, in which he, in an attempt to create harmony between Germany and Britain, the Kaiser very condescendingly talked about how it had been, in fact, a German military plan that had bailed the British out of their difficulties in this conflict. It caused an enormous flap internationally. It would be William II who, as he was dispatching German troops to go off in China, along with the other European contingents, it would be William II who had coined that terribly unfortunate term, the yellow peril, in talking about the Chinese. But in the early days of his reign, his post-Bismarckian reign, William II would talk about the goal of German policy was simply to achieve what the other great European powers had done, and that was to achieve a position as a great colonial power. Germany already had its colonies. They had been acquired in this short burst of expansion in the mid-1880s. But then Bismarck had, this was clearly not part of his real objectives, his goals for the future. So the Kaiser, with this announcement of Weltpolitik, world policy, this determination for a place in the sun, Germany seemed to be announcing that it was going to be looking for opportunities for expansion in an African continent that was already largely carved up by the major powers, in Africa, Asia, anywhere around the world. One of the things that Bismarck had insisted upon, and one of the axioms of Bismarckian foreign policy, was that in order to be successful and effective, the foreign policy of a state has to be predictable. That is, it has to work on the basis of clearly defined national interests, and one's potential opponents have to be able to anticipate, up to a point, the actions of one state. Under William II, German foreign policy would gradually acquire sort of sense of this being erratic, expansionist, a kind of unguided missile, attempting to exploit international tensions to draw the maximum advantage from them. One sees this in North Africa, one sees it in Asia, and one certainly would see it on the European continent.